Welcome to Corner Geeks episode 10, Online Storage and Dropbox. Hey guys, here it's Tim here as always, along with...
Firdaus Zainani.
Yeah, so today we're going to talk about online storage options, and in particular Dropbox. I guess in this day and age where people are reliant on the cloud, we always like to have our data with us, and online storage is something that everybody should at least try out and see whether it works in their workflow. It works for them, and whether it makes a good backup sense. So today we're going to talk about Dropbox. Firdaus, would you like to give like a brief introduction on Dropbox?
Dropbox. What is Dropbox? The first time I... Dropbox is essentially just, you know, conceptually speaking, it's just a folder, this folder. You put stuff on it.
Your Dropbox, yeah. Basically.
And then you put stuff on it, and then it syncs. That's it. In terms of usability, in terms of how you use it, it was actually, you know, sorry, Steve, but it was actually quite magical. The first time I used it, the first time I used Dropbox, it was amazing. Obviously, if you install, it won't work. If you install it in another computer, a separate computer, another separate instance of Dropbox, and then you sign in with the same login, then all your files on the original computer get synced there. So, and you know, it's accessible in your iPhone, accessible in whatever computer that you want. Maybe not Solaris, I'm not sure. what else? And if you make like changes, it will like carry over, which is nice, like, especially if you're doing like maybe not Microsoft Word. There's some problems with Microsoft Word, but I think it's like HTML, really? JavaScript. It's very nice to be synced over.
What problems are you talking about?
For example, if you have a Microsoft Word document open on one PC and you try to save it, it will always leave a conflict because Microsoft Word, Microsoft Excel, those they tend to leave the file handle, I guess, it open. When you save it, when you close it, then the file thing closes. That's why sometimes if you have the document open, you can't eject your hard drive or things like that. So same thing with so if you save it on one, it will always, I think, I'm not sure, but it will always have a conflicted copy. I may be wrong on that though.
Okay. I've never experienced that many myself, but then again, I don't really use a lot of Microsoft Office files.
Yeah. It's
I'm using open document format, so anyway, yeah. So basically Dropbox, let's just give you the premise. Dropbox gives you 2 gigs free storage. You install it, and actually after you install it, you don't really notice it because what it does is it installs this, I guess, if you could call it a service on your computer, and basically it creates a folder, which they call it the Dropbox. Anything that you want to save online, you can just drop it in there. By default, all the files are private unless you put it in the public folder, which means it can be accessible through a URL or a link that you can give people. But at the end of the day, I think what's great about Dropbox is that it seems very seamless. It works with your existing file explorers. So like if you're on Windows, it works with Windows Explorer, not to be confused with Internet Explorer. For OS X, it works with Finder. At least for Ubuntu, it works with Nautilus, the file manager as well.
Technically.
So you...
Yeah, technically, yeah. You can even use like command lines, etc. It doesn't integrate into the file manager. I think it integrates into the shell itself. So I may be wrong on that though.
Yeah, so yeah, basically what it does is it installs this background service that monitors this Dropbox folder that it creates. Anything that you dump in it, it will upload to the cloud or the Dropbox cloud and sync to any other computer that has Dropbox installed. So just say for instance on my netbook I copy a file onto my Dropbox, and on my laptop it will automatically sync up without me having to do anything. So just that ease of use and require it not requiring any user, real user interaction. Because at the end of the day, you're going to save the file somewhere. You just dump it in the folder, and automatically Dropbox will do everything for you. I guess that's one of the main reasons why people start using it.
Yeah. And it's also just like a folder. Any programs can use that folder. It's just a folder. From the operating system point of view, it's just any folder. But whatever gets into that folder, like we mentioned, it gets synced to other computers. So in that way, it suddenly becomes very flexible. This simple thing becomes very powerful. In fact, for the longest of time, it was the darling of the geeky people.
Yeah. It also has features such as LAN sync, which basically means that if you're on the same network, instead of downloading straight from the internet, it will download straight from the internal network or straight from the computer that has the file. So just say, for instance, I have a 50 megabyte video that I have on my Dropbox. If I were to connect my other laptop on the same network, it can directly copy the video from my laptop, my original laptop that had it, without downloading it from the internet, which, at least in Brunei context, which can be slow.
Yeah, relatively speaking.
Yeah. I think a few things, like Dropbox enables you to share folders. So say, for instance, you're working, you want to collaborate with people. I can, like for us, for Corner Geeks, I've shared a Corner Geek folder with Fidawas. Anything to do with Corner Geeks, we dump in that folder and both of us will see the exact same thing.
Yes.
You can configure it when you share. You can configure it as read-only or read and write access?
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, for that specific person, I'm not sure. Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so basically, I don't know, to me, Dropbox is very seamless. I guess at the end of the day, that's what I have to call it. It's very seamless.
Mm.
It does a lot of things without you having to think about it. And it has versioning as well, so just say you save multiple, or just say you're working on your thesis or something. Each time you save, and each time that Dropbox uploads it, it has a version in their database.
Yeah.
So just say, for instance, you want to revert back to a few versions ago, you can go to the Dropbox website, view any of the old versions, and just use that instead.
Up to 30 days, I guess, free.
Is there a limitation for 30 days?
If it's free, if I'm not mistaken.
If it's free, okay. So, but yeah, that's a great thing. And another thing that's great about it is that as long as you have all your documents there, moving from computer to computer can be pretty easy. Just say you buy a new computer, just set up Dropbox, and let it automatically download everything there. And basically, you've set up all your documents, as long as it doesn't exceed the 2 gigs that they give you free. Yeah, and aside from that, just say you do run out of space, there are 3 ways to get more space out of Dropbox. One way is through referrals.
Yes.
Basically, if you refer Dropbox to somebody and they use the referral link that you send them, you get, I think, another 250 megabytes free.
Mm.
And I think it caps out at 8 megabytes for the free version.
Yeah.
And I think along the way, Dropbox offers some competitions, or even like if you go through the proper setup, they give you more space. I think, was it last year, they had this Dropbox competition. If you completed it, you get a few more gigs?
I think this year. Should be this year. Yeah.
Yes.
And supposedly they did it a couple of times. I don't know. But yeah, I missed that. I missed out on that.
Yeah, so you initially start off with 2 gigs. Currently, I'm on... I have 5.5 gigs.
Yeah. Me?
So...
But honest, for me, 2 gigabytes is enough. But mostly I put all of my Word documents, HTML documents. I don't put my PSDs, videos and stuff there.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm, I think for a lot of people, especially for a lot of office people, in fact, I recommend this a lot for... Well, depends. There's some... there are some issues to be when we are talking about office stuff, enterprise stuff. But anyway, for a lot of people,
a small office basically.
Mostly because like either the security issues, if security is a big thing, but that's a different story, I think.
I guess because at the end of the day, in the office context, it's very useful because at the end of the day, just say you're working on a document, you submit it to your boss, then your boss asks you to make the changes. So what you can do is just go back to your computer, make the changes, save it, let Dropbox automatically sync it, and as long as you all share it, all in the office share the same folder, you're able to access the file straight away without having to ask them to send it to you by email, by whatever, which is always useful. And if you're talking about, sometimes I know people, they email documents around, which can be a hassle.
Yeah. I used to store my files in Gmail. In other words, I save it as draft. That's how I got my files around. Because I was lazy using the USB stick thing. So
when dealing with companies, like sometimes you want to email them, oh, this is the invoice or quotation, but you only want it to be there for a limited period of time.
Yeah.
You don't want, what's good about Dropbox is you can dump it in the public folder. Give them the link. Once they downloaded it, you can just delete the file and the link will no longer be valid. So it's good for like temporary storage, things like that.
Yeah, I use it. Still, I don't have a website, as we may have established. We just got static of B. I use that as a way to like play around with, like if I want to show off some sort of HTML or JavaScript thing, I put it in my Dropbox. Which is cool. The first time we got that, it's cool. But maybe kind of sad in terms of technical. I really should have a web hosting system kind of way.
Yeah, honestly, Dropbox could be used for hosting. I'm not too sure whether it's against their terms of service.
They have cap. So if you go over like bandwidth cap, something like 1 gig or 250, then I think you stop being able to access it using public, just like any other public. So maybe not as a hosting as a, like a normal hosting website, maybe just hosting like a for the Twitters or something. It's easier than uploading.
I think also like if you're talking about people doing design work or like website work, if you want to show a mock-up, like just design, you just want to show them a mock-up of how the web page would look like, just dump it on the Dropbox, give them the public link. It's easy.
Yeah. There's even a gallery thing, but I never use that.
Ah, yes, photo galleries. Cool. You can dump... Yeah, it's similar to the public library, sorry, the public folder, but instead it shows a gallery of photos. It's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Nice feature, but nothing that will really sell it, I think.
I think it's... That's the thing, right? This is suitable for, like, regular people, although the setup may be difficult. In other words,
I don't think the setup is difficult, man. Just install.
Yeah.
Okay. And you have a folder. It's not difficult at all.
Yeah, it's really suitable for the regular people. Think about like what's the easiest way to upload an image. You know. Maybe image your, is that how you say that? You drag into the website. Which may not make sense. Or you just put it in your Dropbox. Put it in a folder and then it automatically creates the gallery and then you're set. I think it's pretty good, although I don't use it, obviously.
But actually, recently, though, this year, Dropbox did have a few issues. One of them had to do with anybody being able to log into any account.
Yeah.
I think
it started out like... originally they say that the files are encrypted and then like nobody is able to access your file. But then it turns out, obviously, because we know, because they can do the public thing, they can do the sharing thing, they are storing the public key, and then like anyone on Dropbox or any police people who ask Dropbox, can we look at the files and then they can give you. I think that was the first what do you call that? Strike.
First strike, yeah.
Second strike, the file thing. In other words, once you authenticate your Dropbox into a computer, you are left with this file, which is like kind of like a cookie. But then
basically a configuration file.
Yeah. So and then if you just manage to get this cookie or this configuration file, and then install it into another computer, you have access to that person's access.
Without even having to put in a password, because basically there's like a, I won't say a footprint of, what is it called? Basically there's like a cookie, like you mentioned a cookie, like a secret configuration.
Like the hash, perhaps. The problem is,
something,
even worse is, if you change your password, they still can get access. That's the main problem. So in other words, if they get that file, you're supposedly, theoretically speaking, unless they change this recently, I don't know, your account is compromised. They can see the files forever and they can delete all the...
Yeah, until they unlink the computer through the website.
Is it? Does that work?
Yeah. There's a you can go to your account in the web on the Dropbox website. Basically, if you there's a tab for your computers.
But even
it will list out all the computers there.
That
you can unlink it.
That makes sense. So if you unlink that name, that specific name, and then it will, so that person will also be not be able to, or still will be able to.
They will not be able to.
Okay, that's good.
It completely locks them out. So you actually have to go into your Dropbox account, go to your My Computers page, and actually monitor it, in a sense, if you are very paranoid.
Yeah.
Just to make sure that there's no unauthorized access.
But then the problem
computer.
Is, if it's that's the case, in the history or in the history, because there's a website, that's a nice thing. There's a history, you can get versions, you can restore, delete it, and shows who the last person who accessed or changed it on the website. If you use the website, a lot of people don't use the website, surprisingly enough. I only use the website like the last 2 months. But anyway, that means that the name that appears is actually the name that you stole it from, right?
I believe so, yes.
So that's even more problematic. Maybe IP,
if you're using the same computer, you might see two devices of the same name and you might not think too much of it. So in a sense, it's kind of scary to know that people might have access to your actual Dropbox without you knowing it.
Theoretically speaking.
Theoretically speaking, but I think maybe another thing is maybe you shouldn't be storing too critical information on your Dropbox itself.
Yeah. And yeah, so that's perhaps maybe the why I mentioned, maybe like in the business people, if you're going to store forms, you know, stuff, maybe it's okay. But maybe it's like mission critical stuff. Maybe you need to do some extra stuff. Either don't use it, maybe use encryption or whatever.
Yeah, because I think there are other alternatives to Dropbox, and some of them, they emphasize their security in terms of encryption to say that, okay, everything's encrypted on your side. If you lose the password, too bad, we can't help you because everything's encrypted.
Yeah.
Whereas for things like Dropbox, if they have the master key, as long as you can like email them saying you forgot your password, they will be able to restore your files to you.
Yeah. Because...
So... It's a give and take kind of thing.
Mm.
If you want to be super secure, you have to be aware that if you forget your password or something, you may never have access to your files again.
Yeah, I think maybe like for a tip, I think a lot of people listen, or maybe just touch, but I think if you go to Steve Gibson's podcast with Dear Leopold on the tweet.tv, security now, tweet.tv/SN, there's like lots of explanation on how to be secure. And one of the things is like things like encryption. He calls this like pre-internet encryption, PI. Before that was pre-egression. I didn't remember that. P, but yeah. Maybe what's the difference when like they are encrypted but they can still, and then they're encrypted here, and then they can't read it. The difference is that the password is not stored, or the password or the key that encrypts it is not stored in their servers. For example, in LastPass, or there are ways to do it, but anyway, they can't decrypt your passwords in LastPass's case. But in Dropbox's case, it is encrypted on the way and maybe stored in the their servers, but they have the ability to decrypt it. So there's a lot of services that say that, oh, there we have 256 AES encryption, but that doesn't mean they are not able to access it or something like that. But yeah, you just better off listening to Steve Gibson's podcast, tweet.tv/SN. It's really good.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, Dropbox, what's great about it is that it's seamless. It's basically a folder that you can access to your file explorer. Dump it there, dump the files there. As long as you let it upload to the cloud, it will basically serve as a backup.
Yeah.
It'll serve as a syncing mechanism to other computers that have this installed.
Yeah.
I think we also forgot to mention they are Android and iPhone clients as well.
Yeah.
Or iOS clients.
iOS clients.
They don't work exactly the same as the desktop or laptop installations.
Makes sense.
Because at the end of the day, you have limited storage on your mobile devices. So what it does is it lets you browse the files, and if you download the files, it might store a local copy of it.
Yeah.
But you don't have a local copy of everything on the mobile device itself,
because there's a web UI, you can really use this anyway. Even like your PS3, your PSP, theoretically speaking, you can also do that. So that's the nice thing about the web UI. So
it's basically accessible on any app, any platform that has a browser.
Even Symbian, although I think Symbian has on Memo, but it was rubbish. Anyway, never mind.
Let's not go there. Yeah, so the great thing about Dropbox is once everything is synced, you can be offline and you have access to all your files as well, because as we mentioned before, it's just a folder in your file system or in your desktop or somewhere on your computer. You don't have to have internet access to access your files once they've been synced with Dropbox.
Yeah.
So that's another good thing for it, whereas for some like cloud storage applications, you save everything to the cloud or the internet. If you don't have internet access, you can't get to it.
Yeah.
So it defeats the purpose of having live data on your computer
itself.
And then
sometimes you have to open up the program and then drag the file into the program and then it syncs.
Some other applications.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, Dropbox is a seamless online storage mechanism which can be used for syncing files across devices as well as backups with versioning.
Yeah.
It starts at 2 gigs free. You can get more through referrals or special promotions that Dropbox has.
You can download it at http://db.tt/98.
No, you're not giving out your referral link.
No.
Get Dropbox.com, or we'll put our referral links in the show notes. Whichever person you like more, you can click on their referral link. But yeah, so in terms of Dropbox, I think it's actually one of the more expensive options if you go commercial.
Yeah.
Or if you, or for the more commercial size, it's like for 50 gigs, it's $9.99 a month or $99 a year. For 100 gigs, it's $19.99 a month or $199 a year. I think it's the most expensive out of all the online storage options.
Probably.
Perhaps it's because it's the biggest, the first, and in a sense, maybe more people are ingrained to it already.
Yeah. Just a short story. More or less. When all those problems cropped up, before Dropbox was like, everyone loved Dropbox, right? If you remember. But then, like in those 2-3 weeks, all these problems cropped up, legal problems, password problems, security problems. And then I think me and Tim, we were on like this online storage spree looking for alternatives, like SugarSync, Walla, etc. And then I installed a lot of them, SpiderOak, But in the end, for me, personally, I still end up using Dropbox, and I don't really think about it anymore because Dropbox is really, it's too convenient, actually. I store all of my files there, which I really shouldn't, but I store all my important files there, as in important work-related files, and I back up all of my like JavaScript files that I lost. In fact, I don't even use the hard drive anymore. For me, 2 gigs is enough. So it's really, well, it's a bit dramatic, but life-changing in terms of I can move into any computers I want. It's like I can safely say that I can restore this computer more easier than that's how I transition from Windows to Mac so easily. I just install Dropbox. All of my files is there, like what? So yeah.
It's a great option for students. Don't lose your reports and things like that. Assignments. Get a Dropbox.
Yeah.
2 gigs should be sufficient for you. Use it.
Or if you use our referral, you get free 250 megabytes. It's
Yeah, so there is, I think, for referral links and Dropbox, both sides get the bonus space.
I think so.
So if you want a little bit more space, click the referral links that we'll have on our show in our show notes.
Fine.
Show it, yes. I will edit Firdaus's one to look like his, but the link will be mine.
No. 2.2 gigabytes. Give me more. 22.6 gigabytes. Well, okay, Tim needs it more. So
I'm on 93.8% of 5.5 gigs, man.
What are you putting in there?
It's work stuff. Yes, work stuff. Anyway, yeah, so I guess that concludes our discussion on Dropbox. We will go into in-depth into other alternatives. For Dropbox in the coming weeks as we ourselves use it. Oh, forgot one last thing. Dropbox is available on Windows, Linux, OS X, Android, iOS.
Solaris?
Not too sure what else.
Any of that. Because it is also, the API is not so bad, but oh, there is. Solaris client, Dropbox forums.
There's iOS, there's BlackBerry as well.
Yeah. I think it's fairly... again, because there's a web UI, even PS3, although you can't sync stuff to it, maybe you can upload stuff to it, but you can't use it like the Dropbox, as they say, but you can access your files anywhere. PSP, yeah. Nintendo DS, technically speaking, although it needs the browser, PS3, Xbox, so...
okay, yeah, but those are all accessing the mobile client, so with the web client.
Yeah.
So
it's okay, you know.
Limited functionality, but at the end of the day, I guess most of the bases are covered.
Yeah.
Well, most platforms that
even
you use,
some of
aside
the,
from Symbian and Windows Phone 7, are covered.
Yeah, even some of the sad to say, like for example, the MAMO clients or the iOS client. Although it's not, it's essentially just accessing. We can't really upload. Although we can upload pictures, which is good.
Can on Android. Because of the full file system.
Nice.
Android.
Stupid Android. Damn you, Android.
Yeah, so with that, that's all for this week. Oh. Thanks for listening to Corner Geese, guys. See you at the next corner.
Whoosh. No, wait. We have a soundboard down. Whoosh, whoosh.
Whoosh, whoosh.
No.
Yay!
That's all cute to live, Tim. Actually, can we cut this in somewhere? We forgot to mention about like some of the apps that use, for example, for example, the text editors in iOS uses it as a save. Atomic Web, you can save file to the Dropbox. Is that important? Should we mention it? Or is it implied in the darling of tech community?
Beep. Addition.
Cut this in.
Extra, extra. Read all about it. Listen all about it.
Sorry, Tim.
Some footnotes.
I was doing this.
Else forgot to mention.
I will do this too, Tim. I will insert extra stuff at the end. Okay.
So over to you, Firdaus.
In addition to, because it's a folder, and then there's like an API, and then the web access, there's a lot of programs that specifically design or specifically use Dropbox as the main way to transfer files, for example. There are a lot of text editors that use Dropbox as a way to save files, and then it can sync anywhere, which is amazing. Well, not amazing, but magical.
I think maybe more for iOS side, because iOS, there's no file system.
Probably.
So they're using Dropbox as a sort of a cloud file system for them to actually save the files.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure about Android side. I've not really run into applications that have that.
Yeah.
I think maybe it's also because Android has this sharing mechanism where you can share any file or something that you're working on. Like, you say you're editing an image,
yeah,
you can click the share button and you can send it straight to Dropbox to upload. Yeah.
How about KeepSX? Have you used KeepSX?
I just deleted it, actually.
Yeah.
I never used it.
If I'm not mistaken, even the Android, they're using Dropbox as a way to store the...
The
locker?
Password file.
Password file. So, for example, LastPass stores it in the server, but a lot of people want it on their own, but that doesn't make sense because you're storing on Dropbox, which is not stored on there. Never mind. But yeah.
Yes. But anyway.
iOS also uses the... You can have your password file on any computers, which makes sense because that's what you want to do. So, it's because it's a folder and because there's an API, there's a lot of people using it even when they're designing their application. So I think it's worth just having an account, even though you won't be using it or you think you won't be using it. I strongly recommend it.
Yeah, just try it out. At the end of the day, try it out. You don't even know your full URL, do you?
No. I only know db.tt. That's it.
And that's a wrap for this week.
Probably. You can...
Be afraid of our soundboards. Be very afraid.
Thank you. Comedy noises. Perfect. I think we're done, yeah?